There have been 49 murders in Charlotte in 2017, more than double the amount compared to this time last year. 38-year-old Jabari Stewart was one of the first victims. He was killed in January. His murder remains unsolved, adding to the family's grief.
I believe because there is no closure, it's hard for me to enjoy the memories. Instead, I'm kind of dreadful to go into areas and places here in Charlotte that I've been because it's so painful. The wound is still open.
We'll hear more from the family of Jabari Stewart tomorrow morning. And tomorrow night, a Charlotte Talks public conversations broadcast focuses on the city's growing homicide problem. That event starts at 7 p.m. at Friendship Missionary Baptist Church. Today, WFAE Sarah D'Elia takes us to an area in North Charlotte where there have been 10 murders this year. She shadowed police officers as they patrolled by car and by foot and spoke to residents they came across.
Before you start walking the North Tryon beat, you have to drive to the heart of it.
Going to Sugar Creek 85 area, which is a very high crime rate area in Charlotte.
I'm driving with Lieutenant Michael Abadanza towards a 7-Eleven that's on the corner of Sugar Creek and Reagan Drive. It's an intersection surrounded by rundown motels and fast food restaurants. Lots of quick stops for people before they jump on or off I-85. It's an area that's historically had problems with drugs and prostitution.
I've been in North Tryon. I was here 10, 12, yeah. Left, and now I've been back a year.
How's this neighborhood changed over time? Do you have a sense of that?
You know, really, it hasn't.
Abadanza says covering this area can get to officers.
Assaults, domestics, people shooting each other, stabbing each other for what you and I would consider to be no good reason. They're solving differences with guns and knives now instead of talking about it or hands and fists. To see two young adults dead because they're trying to buy a bag of weed, that seems awful silly.
Why is it important to walk out in the community like this?
You know, it's one thing when you see that drive by, there's really no interaction with anybody. But when we're out like this, when these guys are out walking, there's immediate interaction.
He's referring to officers Matthew Eppolito and Casey Hsu. And it's not long before there is some interaction as we cross the street to a McDonald's parking lot. A group of about six people are by a car with trash bags of clothes, and they tense up when they see the officers approach them.
What's going on now?
You didn't want to
arrest it?
Huh.
Are we just talking? Do we have to have a conversation with you guys?
No, absolutely not. Okay, you don't want to talk?
Right now we're trying to help her.
28-year-old Ash, she just wants to go by her first name, is asking if they're in trouble. But the group keeps talking to the officers. What started off as a tense moment slowly settles. Ash talks in vague terms about the homicides in the city, but does say the uptick in murders is affecting the community.
I don't understand what's going on with these people down here. It's just the people. I don't understand why they're crazy. They're not trying to help you. They'll take your last dollar from you and look at you and smile and then walk past you the same day. So that's kind of scary.
Do you think people in this area are worried about the increase?
Yeah, it's getting crazy over here. Like, we should stay to ourselves, don't talk to no new people and stuff, and keep it pushing.
That was a common response. People in the community know homicides are increasing and know it's a problem and feel uneasy. But no one wants to talk about what's at the root of it. Maybe that's because I'm walking around with police officers. Maybe it's because they don't know. And maybe it's a little bit of both.
You know, I'm like,
hold on, next time, let me know. We'll talk about it.
Yeah, I seen you came up to me straight. I know I was kind of mad right then, but yeah.
All right, bro. Sounds good. I'll talk to you later.
At the end of the conversation, the group thanks the police for stopping and tells them to stay safe. The officers got that a lot. We head down Reagan Drive, which runs parallel to Interstate 85. Officer Hsu says the number of homicides is frustrating.
It's one of those things, as our numbers keep rising, you know, kind of makes us feel a little defeated in what we're doing. If it's not enough, or what more can we do?
Which is part of the reason why they're out walking. We approach two males on the sidewalk on Reagan Drive. Jerry White is wearing a white tank top and jeans and sits in a wheelchair. The guy next to him just wants to go by Rocky. The officers are familiar with the two.
Give us a floor, man. Let us know what's happening.
Okay.
You're the man that sees everything, right? You're always out here. You know it all, seen it all, right?
Yeah.
What's going on with Big Baby?
Rocky is a young guy with small scars on his face. He's skeptical that cops walking the North Tryon beat will make that big of a difference. And he points out having more cops in the area is bad for his business, although he doesn't say exactly what his business is. Plus, crime will still happen, he says. It just might get pushed to another neighborhood. When asked about the increase in homicides, Jerry jumps in, and then Rocky, who's more vocal.
Some people
worry about that every day. But at the same time, you stay out of other people's business and you keep your nose clean. You ain't got to worry about no smoke coming your way.
No, she don't mess with nobody.
The rest of the patrol includes stopping at gas stations, walking the parking lot of a plasma center, and banning a man from a restaurant he's repeatedly disturbed. We walk about a mile and a half over the course of 2 hours. Back in the car with Lieutenant Abadanza, he refers to the two beat cops as young Jedis. In his more senior role, his job is to make sure they have everything they need to stay safe. The most important tool, he says, pointing to his head, is one they already have.
You know, going to these violent crimes, those kind of things, I don't necessarily want them, this ain't gonna come out right. They don't need to be emotional, you know, they need to do their job, which is make sure we're safe, make sure everybody else is safe, secure this scene for evidence, start obtaining information. And that's how a lot of them take care of, you know, you gotta take care of business.
I imagine in your career you first got on homicide calls.
Mm-hmm.
Is that something that gets easier to do?
No.
Both Officer Shu and Eppolito say outside of work, they spend time with family and hang out with fellow officers to help process working in a violent area. Here's Officer Eppolito.
I mean, it's not that it doesn't affect us. And I've got officers who are friends who have had nightmares about things and different things. Usually it's with children. Usually if it's with children, it'll stick with you a little more.
Officer Shu adds.
I mean, obviously the person that's murdered is the victim here, but the family is also. You know, right. The family is the one that, when you see that bothers me more than having to stand with the body. You know, their reactions for the living are the people that, I mean,
we've been in their grief.
And that's where we'll pick up tomorrow morning when we hear from the family of Jabari Stewart. He was murdered on January 4th, and his family's still trying to figure out what to do with their grief. For WFAE News, I'm Sarah D'Elia in Charlotte.